I'd like to just pick up where I left off last Sunday morning. Those first four verses of Isaiah 11, we started looking at the prophecy that Isaiah gave us regarding Jesus and beyond, after he was born. And we got through verses 1 and 2, and I'd just like to finish up with 3 and 4 this morning if we could. These two verses speak of Jesus as being one with the Father and also his appointment as the righteous judge. And so if you're in Isaiah 11, let's read verse 3 and 4. And shall make him, speaking of Jesus, that's the Spirit, shall make of him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And the Spirit of the Lord shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And when we read that phrase, the fear of the Lord, and it is over 80 times in Scripture we find that phrase, it doesn't mean that we're to be afraid of God. That's not what it means. That word fear means, is the Hebrew word yara, which means reverence. Psalm 111:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. And although the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit comprise the triune Godhead, Jesus, as we know, is the Father's Son. And as the Father's Son, Jesus always gave reverence to the Father and always spoke of him and his kingdom while he ministered here on earth. And as being one with the Father, Jesus revealed the Father to mankind through himself. He said, he who hath seen me hath seen the Father. And Jesus always did the Father's will. He always did the Father's will. He prayed to the Father. He gave thanks to the Father in his prayers. And he always reverenced the Father. He wasn't afraid of his Father. He knew his Father loved him dearly. In John, I'll just read this real quick. You don't need to turn there. But Jesus was speaking. He said, and Jesus answered them after the Jews had come to him. And they asked him, how long do you make us doubt? Well, Jesus said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand, my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The Father gave Jesus to us, and he entrusted Jesus to care for us. We're just sheep, and he's the great shepherd, of course. And God the Father, he had absolute, complete, perfect confidence in his Son. And Jesus had the same confidence in his Father. Jesus always did the Father's will, which was and still is to reconcile all men, whosoever, to reconcile all men unto God. And Jesus so reverenced the Father because he did his will. In Luke 2:52, we read, and Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Jesus grew in the wisdom of the Father's will and his plan because he was the co-author of it. I mean, just look at John 1 and through 6 in the beginning. They collaborated together. And God always was, and Jesus always was, and the Holy Spirit always was. There was no beginning to them. They existed before the beginning of time itself. And now Jesus as a man was the fulfillment. He was the fulfillment of that collaborative plan, that all-encompassing plan that many prophecies concerning him would be fulfilled by him and through him and in him. You know, and as a human being, Jesus rebuked Satan's temptations, tempting him with the lusts of the world in order that to whosoever would believe would be saved. Jesus was always looking to the eternal things of the Father. What on earth would be more appealing than the things of God in eternity? For the joy that was set before him, he endured not just manifold temptations, but he endured the cross. And by his submission to the Father's will, Jesus overcame the world. And he enables us to do the same thing. When we align ourselves with the will of God, when we discard our will, the things that we want, the things that we'd like to see happen, whatever it might be in complete submission to his will. He knows you better than you know yourself. I know he knows me better than I know myself. Thank God. And in the second portion of verse 3, we read of Jesus as the righteous judge. Now, Jesus didn't come to earth to judge mankind. Jesus came to save mankind. He even said in John, and it's recorded in John 8:15, "Ye judge after the flesh, I judge no man." But now we see Jesus in glory as the righteous judge. He's the righteous judge that we read about in various portions of Scripture, in various portions of the New Testament. I mean, just look at, for example, Revelation 1, 2, and 3. And he's the righteous judge that Paul wrote of in 2 Timothy. And Paul wrote of a crown of righteousness which awaited him. And why was Paul so confident that he was about to receive that crown of righteousness? Well, he clearly stated it. It's because he held to the faith which God had provided him through Christ, and he was not confident because of his efforts, although he suffered greatly. He says, "I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, and I've kept the faith. Henceforth," and you know the rest. I mean, consider Ty's study just last Sunday. You know, you think about Paul and his suffering. When Paul was stoned to death in Lystra and dragged out of the city and left there for dead, Ty brought out, God resurrected him. Now, imagine being stoned to death, I mean, just bloodied, and then getting up and walking back into the same city. And that was just the beginning. Think of all the shipwrecks and the beatings and the imprisonments that Paul went through. But see, he was never dissuaded from fighting the good fight of faith, from finishing his course, or denying the faith. If anything, it made him more resolute to do the will of God. So Paul knew that he was going to be given that crown by Jesus himself, the righteous judge. He clearly states that. But then he says something for us. And not to me only, but to all them that also love his appearing. See, like Paul, we don't earn that same crown of righteousness by deliberately doing good deeds. You know, we don't want to be self-righteous. If we do anything of good, it's only a manifestation of the love of Christ in us. We don't have to fabricate it. It just flows through us. It's the love of Christ in a person. And that crown that awaits us that Paul was speaking about, see, that was his reward for fighting a good fight, for finishing his course, for keeping the faith which he had in Jesus. Jesus said, "You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." If we suffer with him in faith, we suffer together with him, we'll reign with him in glory. That's a promise. That's another prophecy. And in verse 4, we see that his judgment is upon all people. We don't like to talk much about judgment. He says he will reprove with equity the meek of the earth. That word reprove means to correct, to judge, to convict, to chasten, to rebuke. See, Jesus shall judge all men. He'll judge the evildoers and provide justice to the poor and the meek of heart. In Matthew 5:5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The equity Isaiah wrote of is the perfect justice of Jesus, the righteous judge, when all who have suffered will be vindicated. The highly esteemed men of this world, they'll be brought to naught. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for all men. I've got even more notes. Maybe I'll finish them next week. I don't know. But praise the Lord. Many Old Testament prophecies have been fulfilled, and there are many New Testament prophecies that have yet to be fulfilled. And maybe we'll touch on those next week. But I pray the Lord come before then, don't you? I do. God bless you this morning.